Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Table Talk. Today at the table, we're going to talk about John chapter 4. This is where Jesus is speaking to the woman of Samaria. I'm going to start by reading a little background knowledge on that then and the them that the word was written and revealed to from Charles Swindoll from his study Bible. Jesus is a Jewish man. And he sits down beside a well in Samaria in the hot noonday sun and starts talking to a Samaritan woman. And now this may seem like no big deal to us, but in this culture and time period, it was absolutely scandalous. Why? Well, first, it's unusual that a Jewish man would even be in Samaria. Jews avoided that area because Samaritans were historically considered half-breeds rather than pure Jews. And Jews would even go around the entire Samaritan territory if they had to get from Judea to Galilee. And second, it was out of the ordinary that a man would be talking to an unknown woman. All right, so I just want you to have that as context for as we begin reading John 4. John 4. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now let's stop here for a minute. And knowing what we know from what I read to you from Charles Swindoll's study Bible, we know what, if we were there then, what we would have thought about a Jew being there and a man speaking to an unknown woman. But for us at the moment, let's also center on John 4, verse 6, where it says, Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, sat by the well. This is an example of God's truth that Jesus truly was God, but yet truly was man in human image, for the fact that a God could not be tired or thirsty. But Jesus, in man and humanness that he took upon to come as our Savior, was wearied. Now let's pick up on verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will come in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." So first and foremost, I want us to think about the fact that we need the true water. The true water. The true water of salvation by grace. The true water of the Holy Spirit, who was given as our comforter after Jesus Christ gave his life for us, was buried and rose again on the third day. The true water that wells up within us, that is our overwhelming joy, our overwhelming faith, our overwhelming trust. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Now let's stop for a minute. Remember, a then and a them, to make sure it's applicable to us now. Jews worshipped in Jerusalem, and Samaritans worshipped at Mount Gerizim. But Jesus is telling her that worship isn't a place, but a person. Let's keep reading. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So the second thing after true water is true worship. Do we have true worship? Are we turning our attention to the only one worthy of it? Are we giving the only one worthy of our time and our energy and our effort and our praise and our thoughts and our emotions and our actions? Are we giving him our true worship? Are we attributing our supreme worth to God? Or are we still wrestling against our own self and the world? And what she knew was that a Christ would come, a Messiah would come and tell. She didn't realize that that was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, right there at the well with her. How often are we missing Jesus Christ, our Messiah, right here with us because we are distracted, or we aren't looking for him or trusting him, or we're so busy giving our attention to everything else, we miss out on our Messiah who is right here with us, the Holy Spirit who is right here with us. Let's keep reading. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So they were curious, but cautious enough not to say anything to the Messiah. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the town and were coming to him. So true witness. Are we testifying to what we know? Are we telling others, "I have experienced God. I have experienced Christ. Christ has shown up for me. Christ is compelling me. I am reading the scriptures and scouring truth. I'm applying truth. God is leading me." Are we testifying to that and telling others? So in just reading John 4, this passage was on my one-year Bible reading plan. What the Holy Spirit revealed to me is, Paulette, are you relying on the true water of the Spirit and his truth alone? And are you digging deeply into the well of my scripture? Are you praying diligently? Are you listening faithfully? Because I offer you that spring of water to well up within you. And so that others who are thirsty may come and be quenched by you guiding them to me? And then Paulette, are you experiencing true worship? True worship, where I am the only one worthy of your attention. I am the only one you seek. I am the only thing you're attributing supreme worth to. And then it was Paulette, are you testifying? Are you a true witness for me? Are you telling others about the truth? Are you quenching their thirst for me? Are you guiding them back to me? Are you sharing the word with them? And then I was reading in the one-year Bible plan in Psalm 105. On this same day, it has me in Psalm 105. And I was reading 105 after being so excited about the true water and the true worship and the true witness. And I'm like, yes. Then let's look at Psalm 105. It correlates or cross-references directly to this. It starts out in Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. That's that true witness. That's that testify. Then it says, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. That's testifying, and it's also reminding for us to worship him. Worship him, sing praises, attributes the supreme worth he is due to him. Verse 3, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. That's that true water. That's that we know that we know that we know that we are saved by grace, but we need to continually seek him diligently. Seek his wisdom, his discernment. Seek his character from the word. Seek to apply that character. And 105 verse 5, remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles. So I'm thinking, wow, that is cross-referencing at his finest in the same day. John 4 led me to the true water, true worship, and true witness. And Psalm 105 led me to seek him, sing to him, and speak to others of him. So I'm going to leave you today with those two passages to go back and look at. John 4 and Psalm 105. And as you're correlating and cross-referencing and journaling, I want you to prayerfully open up in prayer to the Holy Spirit and just say, Heavenly Father, allow each of us to be receptive and open-handed, open-hearted, open-minded to you, speaking to us and revealing through the Holy Spirit to us where we need you more. Is it in that true water? Is it in the seeking? Is that where you're calling us to quench ourselves with your living word? Is it in the true worship? Are you calling us to reclaim that you are the only one worthy of our time and our energy and our actions? Are you calling to reclaim us in our witness, in how we're speaking and who we're speaking to, how often we're testifying? We can't testify to what we don't know. We can't witness to the person we don't know. So are you reclaiming our foundation and our time with you, the who, before you call us to speak it out with others? And as we are dwelling in your word, invigorate us. May your wellspring spring up within us. May we overflow with your abundance. That's only by being faithful to read it that we find the characteristics and the accounts of you in your word that we can faithfully prepare our hearts for, that we can be compelled to look at Jesus Christ, his actions and attributes, and ask the Holy Spirit to make that known in us, that we can testify to people of your glory and miraculous, wonderful deeds because we've read about them and we've experienced them. that the worship that we participate in will turn our full attention to you, the only one who's worthy of it. That we replace what the world has to offer us as satisfying with you, the only one who can satisfy. Lord, we love you so. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, perfect, precious, priceless lamb. Thank you for giving us your comforter, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus arose, may we realize that the Holy Spirit lives within us as believers, and that the Holy Spirit just awaits to reveal you to us through the reading of your word, through prayer, through discernment, through wisdom. May we seek community with other like-minded believers and those who don't know you at all. That it's just an extension of your word through us. That we are not bringing anyone to ourselves, but we are using what we know and have experienced to put a hand stretched out, to offer a hand to anyone who is wandering, who is wondering where they can get a salve and a healing, and that it is you, the healer. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.